And on the line now, I have Urban Schrott, who is IT and cybercrime analyst with ESET Ireland. Good afternoon, Urban.
Hello.
And how are things?
Things are grand. How are things with you?
Good, good. We're going to talk about, I was reading your blog there the other day, and I came across this one. I thought the listeners would be interested in it. It's about ransomware, to pay or not to pay, or legal or illegal. A lot of legal questions there.
Yeah, this blog was put up because obviously we get a lot of these questions from people. You know, should I pay if I get ransomware? Should I pay if the company gets ransomware? Should it pay if any government organization institution is attacked? Should they just pay to get the you know, their data unlocked, their info back, and so on? And it is a very complicated and dodgy issue, no matter how you look at it. So there's several things which are, let's say, problematic with this paying the ransom. First and foremost is you're basically giving in to the demands of criminals. And you're actually financing their operations. If they get money, and in the case of big organizations, you know, they're asking for millions usually in ransom. So if they get millions from each ransom, why would they ever stop doing this? So the statistic actually even shows that the companies that have been hit by ransomware and that have paid, 80% of them later said they were hit again. Because obviously the criminals, which are basically not bound by any, you know, agreement or contract, you know, to leave you alone after you were hit once, they see that they've actually found a paying customer.
Yeah.
But they found a victim which will keep paying in order to get things back. So 80% of companies or organizations that have been hit and have paid have been hit again. 50% of companies which have paid did not receive a decryption key. So basically they paid for nothing.
Yes, as you said.
So what's the point in paying, first of all, if you are not sure that you're going to have your things decrypted? And if by that you sent a message, not just a message, first of all, a lot of money to the cyber criminals, which enables them to continue their operations, but then you end up getting hit again because they see that they can get more money from you.
Okay, and paying this ransom, is it illegal or is it legal? You know, you're giving money to criminals, as you said, you know, to finance their ongoing crimes, so...
Well, for many cases, you know, it's slightly unclear. Now, a lot of cases have occurred where either the cyber gangs that have been doing these attacks have already been under various sanctions, European sanctions, U.S. sanctions, and so on. So it is definitely illegal to transfer money to anyone who is under sanctions. No matter how vague that might be in the case of cyber gangs, which, you know, are not really legal entities to begin with. But also, as you said, financing criminals as such, it can be legally slippery. The other thing which they're actually doing is they're often... blackmailing companies with their own data. So is it illegal to pay to prevent data from being published or sold? Well, in this case, you might be preventing a crime because sharing illegally obtained data or private data is illegal as such. So if you're maybe paying to prevent them from exposing a bunch of people who are, like, for instance, if they hack or you know, breach a insurance company or any sort of medical company or organization, and they get hold of a bunch of patients' data, and then they're threatening to make this data public, you're basically paying to prevent this data from becoming public. So in this case, it probably wouldn't be illegal. But in any case, it's morally problematic and... just from the standpoint that, you know, ransomware is kind of a business model for cyber criminals right now. So the longer you help maintain that business model, the longer they're going to keep doing this. So there were also initiatives already proposed by several governments that any kind of payment to cyber criminals is to be made illegal. So if companies and organizations are legally prohibited from paying, and something like this did happen in the last Irish case, where the health service ended up being bailed out for free because the government prevented and said, we're not going to pay, we're not going to pay for the data, and it's illegal to pay for the data. So if all governments basically ban paying this, so that companies really can't pay even if they wanted to, that might actually put a dent in the business model of their cyber criminals, because simply their, let's call them customers, their victims, wouldn't be able to pay them. This would itself make it illegal.
Okay, now ransomware and this—it's been going on, and it will keep going on unless there's something done about it. Is there a way to stop this, to stop cyber attacks and this demand for ransom?
Well, no. Saying you can completely stop crime is like saying, can we ever stop street muggings from happening? Can we ever stop robberies or theft or burglaries from happening? It's very unlikely that we can stop them from happening. However, with safe behavior, you can make it a lot more difficult for the criminals to be able to pull it off. Having locks on your house and windows and maybe an alarm system, you're preventing burglars from easily gaining access to your home and burglarizing it. By behaving carefully on the street, you're possibly, preventing or avoiding getting mugged on the street. So it's the same thing with ransomware. If companies actually look at their security seriously and properly invest in it and have proper security protocols in place, such as having backups, being able to restore the backups, having cloud backups, be recovery ready, having a whole game plan in case they're getting attacked. All of these things, can, if not entirely prevent the chance of ransomware happening, they can at least minimize the impact it has on the company. It can at least alleviate the possible fallout from such an attack. Because if you can simply restore your data from backups and restore the operation, then having it locked for a while isn't really such a tragedy. It can be restored with relative ease and with very little cost. The problem is that a lot of companies are still doing the bare minimum because, people in charge are usually looking at it from a financial perspective, and cybersecurity is just another, another detail in the company budget. So when they're doing their budgeting, so and so much is going to go for marketing, so and so much is going to go for sales, so and so much is going to go for wages, and somewhere down that list is also cybersecurity. And this has become even slightly more complicated since a bunch of insurance companies have started offering cyber insurance. So a lot of companies now just say, oh, well, we'll just take the cyber insurance, and in case we get hacked and in case we get the ransomware, we'll just claim with the insurance, and they'll basically cover our cost of having been hacked, which again plays very nicely into the hands of the cyber criminals, who are now actually looking into which companies have cyber insurance, because they know they're a lot more likely to get money from them. So if companies, instead of investing in cyber insurance, would be investing into security a little bit more, so all of these preventive measures and having their devices properly secured, this would actually make it a lot more difficult for the cyber criminals to even get close to hacking them or to get close to installing ransomware on their machines.
Sounds a bit iffy. The insurance companies will actually pay a company who has paid criminals. Is there no...
That's right. But apparently, currently, legislation, enables this. I mean, I'm not sure. Probably you can also have your home insured against burglary or your car against theft. So again, insurance companies try to offer a feeling of security to their customers. So, you know, no matter what happens to you, we'll be there for you. We'll cover for your damages. We'll cover for your losses. And, that's how they keep the trust of the people who are being who are taking the insurance from these companies. But as I said, in many ways, in the case of cybercrime, this actually encourages cyber criminals to go after companies that have cyber insurance, because otherwise companies might refuse to pay. But if they are covered by cyber insurance, they're a lot more likely to just, you know, let us just pay, get our data back, not worry about it, and let the insurance company worry about how they're going to cover for this.
Yeah, as I said, it's another discussion to have, I suppose, whether that's morally right to pay, you know, for insurance companies to pay. Yeah.
You know, legislation could do a lot about this. So if legislation makes it illegal to insure against ransomware, if it makes it illegal to pay ransomware, if it equates it, for instance, it's like financing crime, calls it, it's the same as financing terrorism or something like that, which again is not allowed, then this might alleviate the problem. It might discourage the cyber criminals to keep attacking, because they realize that they're not going to be getting the money that otherwise they're counting on. So that might kind of, disrupt their operations a bit.
Yeah, that's a very, very interesting point, and maybe up for discussion in the near future with somebody who I'll have to look into that one, Orban.
Well, I'll be very interested to hear the discussion if you possibly get some legislator to talk about this.
Yeah, it's very hard to get members of the government to talk to us. But is there anything else now you'd like to mention, Orban?
Well, apart from this one, there was also there appears to be again a little bit of a scam warning in the shape of unwanted and fake phone calls, which Irish phone numbers are receiving. Mostly, it's coming from 085 or 087 numbers. I've received quite a few in the previous weeks. Where you get a phone call from these numbers, and then this robotic voice starts saying that they're ringing from the department of this or that, and they're basically trying to get the person who is receiving the call to do something to hand over their PPS number or something like that. So obviously these are all scam calls. But the problem is that they're using the very common phone numbers, which could really be any person's mobile number in Ireland. So a lot of people are taking these calls, and some people are taken by surprise and might actually fall for the robotic voice that's saying that they're calling from the Department of Social Protection, and they might be inclined to hand over their PPS number. So in case you receive any such phone calls, just ignore them, just hang up, don't say anything, just hang up immediately, block the number, and don't respond to whatever they're asking you to do.
Yes, and there's another one I think out there as well. I've received calls from, and say you're an 087 number, you get a call from 087, and the next three digits are the same three digits on your phone number.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently,
yeah, I've also received those, yeah, which again makes you think it's a very legit number. Well, obviously all these are faked, generated calls, usually sent through online automatic dialing. And again, whatever they're requesting in these calls, whatever they want you to do, if they want you to click a number or put in a number, or just whatever they want you to do, ignore it, don't do it, just hang up, and then that pretty much prevents them from doing anything. Don't ring back if you receive a call from such an unknown number. Don't ring back, don't give them a chance to get to you, and you should be all right.
Yeah, once again, we'll be talking again. We've been talking for years now about this, and they're coming up with more ways of scamming people.
Yeah, unfortunately, and as you know, whenever there's any sort of economic downturn, it usually stimulates criminals to get even busier and try to get at people. So keep your wits about you. Look out for these things. If they look in any way suspicious, don't engage with them. If you receive emails, if you receive texts. If you receive calls, if they look in any way suspicious, you know, just be a little extra paranoid. Even if you're receiving a legit call, you know, practice a little more defensive behavior, just in case they're trying to scam you for anything. So.
Yeah, and as you said, even if it's a legit call, there's so much of this going on at the moment. I think people will understand people being cautious.
Yeah. So, you know, even if you're receiving something from someone you actually know and they send you a text and say, oh, you have to click on this link, you know, just ring them and say, did you actually send me that? What is in that link? You know, I'm a little extra careful because you never know about these links that you're receiving or calls to action or, you know, whatever. A lot of people are getting their phones hacked because they have no security solution on their mobiles. You know, everyone has some sort of antivirus or something on their computer, but very few people have them on their phones. So they're a little more vulnerable there, even though they're using their phones also not just for calls, but also for their social media. They have their payment credit cards or debit cards stored in their phones because they're using various apps. They might be doing online shopping through their mobiles. They might be accessing their social media. They might be accessing their emails. So if cyber criminals get hold of that stuff, you know, then they can end up having access to all your emails, to your social media. They might be contacting your friends, your contacts, your acquaintances, and trying to scam them, pretending they're you. So, you know, just in case, you know, protect your devices. Secure your devices and watch out for various scams, but watch out for various ways the cyber criminals can get into your mobiles.
Yeah, and some people mightn't be aware that there is security available for phones. They might think, oh, my laptop is covered, but that's about it. But it is available.
Yeah, pretty much all cybersecurity companies offer. We do as well. As you said, you can basically just go to ESA.ie and you'll find the options also to secure your mobile devices with proper antivirus and anti-theft and anti-hacking and the other preventive technologies. So that'll kind of raise the bar for the cyber criminals. If they try to get to your phone, they'll find it a lot more of a difficult task than if you're entirely unsecured.
Okay, that's great. Is it ESET.ie or is it ESETIreland.ie?
No, just ESET.ie is the website, yeah. So if you just want to go to that, whereas our blog is at blog.ESET.ie.
Yeah, and as I said, this is how I came across this one. I was reading up on the blog and it's great. Lots and lots of information there on how to avoid getting scammed. Listen, Urban, I'm sure we'll be talking again in the near future. Once again, been very interesting talking. And thank you very much for taking the call.
You're welcome. Stay safe.
Okay, thank you.